From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Brexit drama in Britain has led to yet another election taking place on December 12th. Prime Minister Boris Johnson called the elections after failing to negotiate a deal for his nation to leave the European Union. But at the center of the political crisis is how Britain's revered National Health Service may be up for grabs if the exit transpires. Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn says he's obtained documents showing a plan to privatise the NHS involving American medical firms. Brits are appalled at the idea of a weakening of their universal healthcare system and took to the streets to denounce US President Donald Trump during his recent visit to their country for the NATO summit. Trump has openly spoken about signing a post-Brexit trade deal with the UK that would involve NHS privatisation. We go now to London to speak with American journalist Sarah Jaffe, who's covering the UK elections. Sarah is a reporting fellow at the Type Media Centre, where she specialises in labour, economic justice, social movements, politics, gender and pop culture. She's the author of the book Necessary Trouble, America's New Radicals. And she just wrote an article in The Progressive entitled What the UK Election Tells Us About Universal Healthcare. Welcome to the programme, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the UK elections are just days away. And as your article in The Progressive states, universal healthcare is a huge issue there as well as it is here in the US, except the difference is that the Brits have been living with a universal healthcare system for a very, very long time, and they like it and they're trying to preserve it. So can you sum up how it is that the NHS is even up for debate around this UK election? You know, people know the word Brexit, but they aren't, you know, really following, especially here in the UK, in the US rather, why healthcare is an issue around the elections.
Yeah, it all comes back to Donald Trump, doesn't it? So when and if the UK leaves the EU, it will have to formulate new trade deals because most of those are now part of its relationship with the European Union. So the Conservative Party, led by Boris Johnson, wants to have a much closer relationship with America and with Donald Trump in particular. And we should say this is not just a Republican Party issue because some of Barack Obama's former advisors used to work for Theresa May. So anyway, who's the previous Conservative Party leader. But at the moment, you know, Boris Johnson is cozying up to Donald Trump. And what people see happening there potentially is that the US government wants, according to some documents that were leaked recently, total market access to the National Healthcare Service, which is, as you said, something that has been around a very long time in the UK and something that British people really take a lot of pride in.
So these documents you're mentioning, is this the dossier that Jeremy Corbyn, Labour Party leader, has been touting?
I hate the way dossier sounds. It's always like, ooh, this is like, it's always said is something that's like implied that like a Russian secret agent
right.
state to you, right? And that's what they're trying to say it is to like get rid of it. These are documents from trade talks that are already ongoing, even though Brexit hasn't happened yet and a bunch of people here are trying to stop it. And that's one of the main issues in this election is that nobody can agree on how to leave the EU. And so they're having another election to see if we can settle that by, I don't know. And so one of the big things for people here again is you know, the NHS has already been sort of privatized little bits here and there, and it's already got, you know, it's been chipped away at since Margaret Thatcher's days. And Thatcher would have loved to privatize the whole thing, but couldn't quite do it because it turns out when you make universal services accessible to everybody and free at the point of access, people really like that because it works. So what's happening is the Conservatives now have to sort of deny that they ever said this, they will ever allow private companies anywhere near the NHS. The Labour Party is saying, oh my God, like this is what we've been telling you was gonna happen, is that they are already saying to Donald Trump's people that they want to allow them access, that members of the party have already sort of admitted that like one of the things that might happen in a trade deal with the US is higher prescription drug prices. So this is now becoming really central to this election that was supposed to be about all these other things. Now, it's often becoming just a referendum on, like, can we save this thing that has been around for generations? And, you know, on top of that, the Labour Party is promising to renationalize a lot of things that were privatized in the Thatcher era, to expand, for instance, universal broadband to everybody. So they're talking about, like, vastly increasing free public services. And the Conservatives aren't saying that they're going to take any of it away in public, but it looks like they've been saying it in private.
Hmm. So it's interesting that the U.S. healthcare system has become a talking point in the British elections because of the fact that, you know, this is kind of being held up as a bogeyman, right? This is what's in store for you. There was a video that a UK media outlet released just a few days ago showing interviews with just members of the public and their reactions to the cost of American healthcare. This video has gone viral. Interestingly, of course, Bernie Sanders and other proponents of Medicare for All here in the U.S. have been touting that as, look how shocked other people are at how ridiculous our healthcare system is.
So the video that I was talking about in my article was the one that Rob Delaney made. Actor Rob Delaney made a video for the Labour Party where he talks about the NHS, and he's an American who came to the UK to live a few years ago, had a baby that then ended up very, very ill for something like 20 months. And wound up in, you know, in the hospital, taken care of by NHS doctors. And he sort of contrasts this in this video with the care or lack thereof that he got in American hospitals and through American health insurance, and talks about, this is why I support the Labour Party, this is why I enthusiastically support the Labour Party. And this video has gotten over 10 million views. And it has been shared by some of the research that people that looked at it said that 65% of the people who shared it had not shared something from the Labour Party before. So this is something that is sort of hitting home for people. I don't know about this Joe outlet.
Actually, let's watch a short clip of it and get your reaction to it.
10 grand for a baby.
Is there a price for that?
Yes.
Jeez. $100? $200?
$2,500.
$80.
$600.
Oh. $250.
More.
Shut the fridge.
More.
£300. $600. $600.
Yeah. Ambulance call out. How much do you think that costs?
Zero payment.
Zero payment.
Yeah, zero payment.
No. It costs $2,500.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
you look. An inhaler.
$100.
Yeah, you're pretty close. It's a bit more.
$120.
$250 to $350.
For an inhaler?
Mm. Yes.
Man, so if you're poor, you're dead.
So if you're poor, you're dead. Those are of Brits reacting to the costs of American healthcare in a video that has gone viral. Before that, the other video that went viral that my guest Sarah Jaffe has written about is that of American actor Rob Delaney, who now lives in the UK and was grateful for the NHS when he was in a terrible medical situation with his family. So Sarah, it's just amazing that Brits, you know, are shocked by the prices of healthcare here in the US. But of course, the big issue is always cost. Are you hearing in the discussions around the UK elections that the cost of the NHS is just too much to justify, or are Conservatives kind of keeping mum about it?
The Conservatives will never, ever, ever say that you should get rid of the NHS on the campaign trail. That would be suicide.
Wow.
They know that. So they go on TV and they lie about it. And it's great because they get caught lying sometimes. Yeah, I mean, nobody here says, oh, we can't afford the NHS. Everybody says we can't afford to not have the NHS. And it doesn't surprise me at all that British people are shocked at the amount of that American healthcare costs. Friends of mine who've known me for years here, you know, ask me how much I pay for health insurance, which is incidentally about $300 a month for insurance that I can't afford to use. And the reaction that I get from people who are political journalists who, you know, pride themselves on being fairly tuned into what's going on elsewhere are still like, what? Because yeah, it's ludicrous. The way we live in America is stupid. Right? Like, you think about that. I was just doing this the other day because I moved from New York to Pennsylvania. And so I had to find new health insurance. So much for, if you like your insurance, you can keep it, right? So I'm looking at it and it's like, ooh, shopping for insurance. That was what the big promise of the Affordable Care Act was supposed to be, right? There's no shopping involved. It's looking at the list of things and going, which one is the cheapest? Because that's what I can afford. And the cheapest one is $300 a month at this point in time. So,
it's not like you had a choice of like five or six plans that were about the same price.
A choice of five or six plans that are offering like, ooh, this one offers acupuncture and that one offers dental. Like, no, it's which one is under $500 a month. So, and we won't even talk about my student loan payment.
Right. So here in the US, the cost of providing free universal healthcare for everybody is the big issue that's constantly raised, but no one's talking about the cost of not having universal healthcare. In the UK, even the Conservatives are scared to bring it up openly. So let's talk about the election in general, Sarah. How is it that, as far as we can tell, polls are showing that Conservatives are actually looking pretty good for the December 12th election?
Well, I would just remind everybody that the polls looked pretty good for the Conservatives to have a 60-seat majority last time around, and that's not what happened. Hmm. So, as my friend James Meadway says all the time, trust no polls. We are in a place where Jeremy Corbyn, who's the leader of the Labour Party, has been relentlessly demonized since 2015 over and over again, sometimes by people within his own party. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what it's going to look like if Bernie Sanders becomes the Democratic nominee, you should ask Jeremy Corbyn and the people who support him over here what it's going to be like to have people who are supposedly within your own party trying to sabotage you constantly, because that's what it looks like. So I've been here for a couple weeks now. I've been around a few districts in London, a few districts outside of London. I'm getting up early in the morning on Saturday to go to Leeds. And so what I'm seeing is an incredibly, incredibly motivated young group of Labour supporters who have come into the party because of Corbyn, because of this promise of expanding public services again, of thinking about taking railways, utilities back into public ownership, of making college free again, expanding access to education for people, things like that, that people are like, wow, this is kind of, we should do this, yeah? And it is interesting because the cost of the NHS is, you know, now that it's there and it's been there for decades, nobody questions that it's a thing we have to have. But you do get people on the doorstep who are otherwise saying, like, well, can we afford to do this thing? Can we afford to give everybody free broadband? Can we afford to make tuition free again? Because it was free not that long ago. Can we afford to do these other things? Because that's always the question. Grace Blakely, who's an economist and an activist over here, wrote a lovely piece the other day talking about this and saying that this kind of how will you pay for it logic is the logic of capitalism. This is how we are taught to think about everything, right? I have to think about, can I afford to go to the doctor? You always get that argument, right? That the government has to operate like a household, that, you know, we have to live within our means and you have to, you have to sort of budget like this. That's not how the government works. That's not how any of these things work. My healthcare is not shopping. It's a thing that I either have to have or don't have to have. If I walk out the street tomorrow and get hit by a bus, I get to go to the NHS. But in 2 weeks when I'm back in the US, if I walk out the door and get hit by a bus, I'm not shopping for the doctor. I'm getting in an ambulance and getting to the nearest doctor, right? These are not household budgeting choices. These are emergencies. And that's why they make sense to be provided by the government in a way that like everybody can have access to when they need it. So it's fascinating to watch the sort of level at which American politics and UK politics can imagine things being accessible to everyone, and where you still hit the wall of like, but how are we going to do that? That sounds great, but can we imagine it?
And incidentally, if you are in the UK as a non-citizen, but you need healthcare, the NHS covers you?
I think you have to pay something, but it's going to cost me a heck of a lot less than it would, even with my $300 a month insurance, because I have an $8,000 deductible.
Right.
Anyway, you all didn't bring me on to hear me talk about my insurance problems.
No, but it's, you know, as an independent journalist, I get, you know, as a freelancer, you're this is the kind of thing that journalists and other working Americans have to deal with, and it's an absolute reality. So Donald Trump was in the UK just days ago for the NATO summit. And of course, he was ridiculed by world leaders in a conversation that was caught on a hot mic. He quit the summit early and left. But what was the reaction, not by NATO leaders, but by the public of, toward Trump's presence? I understand that there were protests. And here's the man who's sort of embodying what could happen to the NHS.
Yeah, I think that the protests were not as big as the last time Trump was here, which conveniently I was also in the UK for. He needs to stop following me. but the reaction I think here was, people immediately asked him about the NHS. Do you want to privatize our healthcare system? And of course, Trump said he didn't. But, he's on record from a few months ago, the last time he was here, saying, yeah, this would be great. We'd love to have access to this. He thinks Brexit's a great idea. Believing Donald Trump is... but people don't like him. Even people who might support Boris Johnson don't particularly want him to be the UK's Trump. So I think, I don't know if Trump being here was helpful for anyone at this particular moment, or if he was sort of like swept off stage very quickly to try to limit the amount of damage he could do.
And the sort of group mocking of Trump, private group mocking of Trump that was caught on a hot mic included Boris Johnson. He was sort of part of that, although we didn't hear directly what he said and if he was actively mocking Trump as well. But he was in the little group, wasn't he?
This sounds like high school. Shouldn't we be older than this? I don't know. Oh, my God. They're talking about each other behind their backs. These are the leaders of the free friggin' world. We're doomed.
And Trump was clearly, had his feelings hurt. Boris Johnson's gamble, going back to what had been happening just a few months ago, really weeks ago, was that he was trying to get through a Brexit deal and then, of course, ended up having to call a election or deciding that he should call a UK election. Could Johnson retain his position as prime minister? I mean, this is his big gamble, right? This election that's coming up.
Yeah, he literally failed every vote while he was the prime minister, except for the one that they finally agreed to call an election. This is somebody who did not have a terribly successful period as prime minister. He was installed, so there wasn't an election to make Boris Johnson prime minister. He was installed as head of the Conservative Party and became prime minister because they were still the largest party after Theresa May stepped down after she failed repeatedly to get a Brexit deal passed. So this has been an ongoing problem. In 2017, the election that was called then was Theresa May trying to shore up her majority in order to get her Brexit deal through. What happened then was she lost her majority. And that brought us to the situation we're in now. And frankly, the polls are tightening. Everybody is out on the streets. The Tories are throwing a bunch of money into ads because they don't have the army of volunteers that the Labour Party has. Everything is going to be down to the wire. It's going to be a matter of a few hundred votes in a couple of constituencies that might swing who gets to try and form a government. And, I'm here. The election is on December 12th. I leave on the 15th. There may or may not be a government by then. Who knows?
Sarah, I want to ask you a little bit about U.S. elections because I know you follow those as well. And time after time, the issue of health care is a leading issue in the U.S. electorate. And with no surprise, so, of course, the Democratic candidates have been trying to speak to that issue, and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren seem to be pretty clearly in favor of Medicare for All, although, of course, Warren has been shown to not be as sincere, if you will. She's now admitted that if she were to be president, she wouldn't bring up the issue of Medicare for All till a little bit later. Sanders said it would be one of the first things he would do. What is your assessment of how the candidates here in the U.S. are taking on the issue of healthcare and whether it can be a winning issue for this election?
I mean, it has to be because the system as it is currently completely unsustainable. And so, I'm describing the sort of travails of my healthcare situation. That's with the Affordable Care Act. That's in states that have it. So that's, in New York, which is one of the earliest states to put together an exchange, I had 6 different plans and 4 different insurance companies over the last several years.
Wow.
That's the reform that we all fought for and won in 2009, right? So the system is still so clearly so broken. And I just, you know, I think, how much longer do we last this way without it? I just, you know, it continues to be an issue because it continues to kill people. And that's not an overstatement in the slightest.
Do you think that people are worried more about Trump winning re-election than healthcare? Because unfortunately, you hear especially liberals doing this calculation about, yes, of course, it would be great to have Medicare for all, but Bernie Sanders couldn't win on that. He's just considered too far left. We need a moderate like Pete Buttigieg or Joe Biden who can take on Trump. And so yet again, of course, we would be sacrificing our ideals for some kind of political calculation, even though, of course, those political calculations have actually failed in the past.
Well, exactly. You just said it. Yeah. I don't know what else I can say to that.
Yeah.
Those political calculations have failed. Bernie polls the best against Trump. The end. That's just like, that's not actually an accurate assessment of how the world works. And I think that it's very easy to say that healthcare isn't an issue when you don't have any problems accessing it.
Right.
When you have pretty decent healthcare because you're in Congress or you're the mayor of South Bend, Indiana or whatever, you know, and your dad was a college professor and you've never actually known what it's like to decide, I stepped off a curb one night a few years ago and twisted my ankle and I didn't have insurance at the time. And so I looked at my foot and said, it's probably not broken, and didn't go to the doctor. So I think about health insurance kind of a lot. I'm getting a little older. I'm going to be 40 in a few months. I can't go without regular doctor's visits anymore because there are actual major health problems that, you know, start to hit you around this age. And so I think that people who say, oh, you have to wait for this because it's an ideal, don't maybe know anybody who is actually suffering, because this is not like a pie in the sky, you know. People came after Jeremy Corbyn and saying, like, broadband communism for saying that we want to give everybody access to free high-speed internet. That is to say, like, high-speed internet is a requirement for many, many, many people's jobs these days, and not just the ones you think. But even that is not life or death. It's great. It's a wonderful idea, and it's actually probably totally affordable to do. But like, I have no patience for people who say, well, like, healthcare reform is just a thing that you pie in the sky weird communists over there want. Like, it's life or death.
And killing people. You write in your article also about the conversation that's happening around free college with Pete Buttigieg, you know, making a big deal about how he doesn't want the rich to access free college. I mean, it's such an interesting argument.
The rich having too much is when it would be universal. It's when they're arguing against universal public services. Is Pete Buttigieg putting out a plan to tax millionaires more? I haven't seen one.
Right.
He worked for them because he worked at McKinsey, and we don't know what he did because he won't tell us about it. You know, again, his dad was a college professor. His dad was a Marxist college professor, incidentally. But this is somebody who has grown up his entire life with access to all of these things and saying, well, like, we've got to means test them. He doesn't know what that means, actually, because he's never actually had to live through that. What does it mean to say that, like, oh, we got to make sure that, like, free college isn't for anybody who might be, like, gaming the system somehow? It means that you have to set up an entire system to make sure no one's gaming it. What does that look like? Ask anybody who's had to apply for food stamps. Like, means testing is a terrible idea. And the way you make sure that millionaires and billionaires aren't gaming the system is you tax them. It's not rocket science.
Right. And most millionaires and billionaires are going to buy their kids way into top tier private universities anyway.
Also.
Sarah, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article about the UK elections from our website. Good luck to you over the next several days.
Thank you.
My guest has been Sarah Jaffe. She's a reporting fellow at the Type Media Center covering labor, economic justice, social movements, politics, gender, and pop culture. She's the author of the book Necessary Trouble, America's New Radicals. We've been discussing the article she just wrote in The Progressive entitled What the UK Election Tells Us About Universal Healthcare. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.